The word of God for our meditation this morning is taken from Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, or all people. Dear fellow Christians who have gathered once again to worship the newborn King, the baby Jesus. All the decorations, the poinsettias, the candles. What do you think the apostles would have thought about our celebration of Christmas? That might be an unfair question, because how do we know what they're thinking? I think they would marvel at the lengths we go to celebrate the birth of our Savior. I think they might even be envious, and of course this is my personal opinion, so it's not worth much, since they didn't really start celebrating Christmas until 336 AD. But once they started celebrating Christmas, over the course of time, one thing after another was added. Christmas carols, special Christmas services, Christmas trees, Christmas lights, Christmas decorations, Christmas gifts. And did you know it wasn't until 1870 that Christmas became a day off from work? That's when it was declared a federal holiday. And it kind of ties in with what Paul wrote to Titus. What's Christmas all about? It's all about this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. The grace of God has appeared. Paul is referring to the fact that Jesus came in the flesh into this world, and he is the living embodiment of God's grace. Now, you understand what grace is, don't you? You can look it up in an English dictionary, and you will have beauty in movement. Oh my, that ballerina is so graceful. Look at the grace with which she moves. And then there's charm and elegance. Oh, that person is so graceful. So filled with grace. And then for some of us, when we didn't get our homework done on time and we had to go pleading to the teacher, please, can I have a little bit more time? Well, we got a extension. We got a grace period. But the definition we're really interested in comes up, sadly, in our English dictionary, at least in my English dictionary, it comes up last. Leniency, mercy, forgiveness. And that is what grace is all about. That is what the grace of God is all about. It's about God showing us forgiveness, granting us mercy, giving us pardon. And how does he go about doing that? He does it through his Son. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus, who really is the grace of God. You go back to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The apostle wrote that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the grace of God, for it is through Jesus that God treats us better than we deserve to be treated. And that really is what grace is all about, to treat us better than we deserve to be treated. How do we deserve to be treated? I think we all know that. We deserve to be treated with justice. And sadly, as sinners, that means God treating us with justice is punishment and eternal separation. But God wants to save us. And so the grace of God has appeared. At just the right time, God sent his Son. Sent him into this world to do what? to be treated exactly the way we deserve to be treated. In order to do that, Jesus came into this world, and we just confessed it, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He came into our world just the way we all come into the world and the way we're hoping someone soon will come into the world. He came into the world as an infant. This was the only way Jesus could be under the law, to be fully human. Now, under the same law that condemns us, Jesus, under the law, will live a perfect and holy life in our place. Under the law, Jesus would grow up to carry the weight of sin and bear the punishment for sin. Because he's under the law, and Isaiah foretold it, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Carrying our sins, pleading guilty to them all, Jesus stood before his heavenly Father and accepted the punishment that we deserved. This is exactly how God treats us, better than we deserve to be treated, by treating Jesus the way we deserve to be treated. And that is grace. That is the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul wants us to know it has appeared. It has happened. This is real. And this grace of God brings salvation to all people. Now, salvation is a word that is built upon the verb save. In English, we have one word, save. And we can use it in a variety of different ways. The Greek language has five different words for save. One of them is generic. It would fit every category. The other four, though, are unique. Each one is different. We'll use the word, I saved money this month, meaning I cut down my expenses. I turned the heat down. I turned a few light bulbs off. I didn't go to Starbucks. I didn't have dinner out as often. I saved. I cut down expenses. That isn't, we use the word saved, but Greek has a special word for that kind of saving. We use the word save when, oh, you saved my bacon. You really came through for me. You saved me. And that's an entirely different Greek word. And then there is, I am going to put money aside for retirement. I am saving for retirement. Again, a different Greek word. Where is all this leading to? The last one. You saved me from certain death. You saved me from getting hurt. Rescue. And in the Greek, this word for save always means that you are in a position that will lead to death. Unless someone else helps you, you are going to die. And unless the Lord Jesus helps us out of our sins, we are going to die eternally. The Bible only uses this one word for save. And so when we talk about salvation, we are talking about the great deeds that Jesus did to save us from sin, from death, from hell, and from the power of the devil. And of course, to do that, it had to begin somewhere. It began with his birth. As an infant, Jesus was already saving us. As an adult, Jesus was saving us. He was carrying the burden of our sins. And in the end, he paid for those sins with his life. But over the course of those 33 years, he was also saving us by living a life that kept God's law, so that he could earn for us holiness and righteousness, because he had been born under the law. So Jesus has done all that to save us, because there isn't a single one of us that could save ourselves. The Greek word won't allow for it. That Greek word always means we need help. And we have it. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. This isn't something we could do. This is something God has done. He brought salvation. He brought it through what His Son accomplished for us on the cross. And He brought it to all people. Let's talk about Christmas for a little bit here. I'm sure you all had Christmas lists. Maybe you had Christmas lists for Christmas cards. Maybe you had Christmas lists for Christmas gifts. Did you forget anyone? Well, I don't know. Every year we find that, there's a card we didn't send out to that family. We forgot them, or maybe we just had excluded them. But God has a Christmas list. It was right there in the verse, bringing salvation to all people. God's Christmas list includes everyone. No one will be excluded. No one will be accepted. No one will be forgotten. God wants Christmas to be known throughout the world. And while we could grumble and complain about the commercialism and the secularism, but let's face it, who doesn't know about Christmas? And even if they have all the wrong ideas about Christmas, somewhere they have heard what it's really all about, the birth of Jesus. And as we continue to think about what is Christmas all about, well, it's about gifts, isn't it? Sure. Does anybody on your gift list actually deserve the gifts you give them? Why do you give them those gifts? Well, you do it because you love them and you want to show them that love. And that's exactly what God has done at Christmas. He has given us the gift of His Son, and His Son has brought to us the gift of salvation. Think of it like those nesting dolls where there's one inside the other and you keep opening them up one after another to find good things inside. And look at this. Here's the gift of salvation, and you open that up, and what will you find? Forgiveness of all your sins. And you open that up, and you find eternal life. And it could just keep on going like that. Yes, Christmas is about gifts. Our gifts reflect the gift-giving of God. And He gives us salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. He gives us His Son, so we have all of that. Well, and what else is Christmas about? It's about food, isn't it? Oh, to hear the people back in Wisconsin talk about Christmas dinners. Oh, I'm sure it's just like here. My goodness, you can't walk away without having eaten way too much, and you don't want to eat for the next several days. But God has prepared a Christmas dinner, a special dinner for you that here at Bethlehem you celebrate every time you gather for worship. Why, it's not ham or turkey or the mashed potatoes or anything like that, but the Lord Jesus has given us that special meal, the Lord's Supper, and He invites you to receive His true body and blood together with the bread and wine to strengthen and assure you that the gifts God gives you are truly yours. What a feast God gives us. And so we have the Christmas dinner taken care of. Well, then we need the friends and family. Boy, and at Christmas time, well, I guess I'm living proof. We travel pretty far distances to be with family for the holidays. And you've all traveled, I don't know how far, but you've all traveled here to be with family, your church family. Here we are, the family of God, gathered around word and sacrament to worship the Lord Jesus and to celebrate His birth and the grace that God has shown us. Christmas can be about a lot of things. But every one of the things that the world has added to Christmas somehow, some way, is always going to take us back to what is Christmas really about? It's about God showing in real time His grace through His Son, Jesus. It's about God giving us gifts that there is no way we ever deserve. But He loves us so much, He's going to bestow on us those gifts of salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. Christmas is all about what God has done for us. And the Apostle Paul just has a way of summing it up so simply. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the newborn King. Amen.